Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Jason Smith, who is a Missouri congressman from the 8th District, also the chair of one of the biggest committees on Capitol Hill, the House Ways and Means Committee. That's the Tax Writing Committee. He will have reaction to the Hunter Biden pardon and much more at the bottom of the hour. Plus, we'll have an audio cut of the day. We're going to get a little take on this from our friend Brad Young as well this afternoon, one of our legal experts with Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young. He fills in often for me on this show, on this station on 97.1 FM Talk. Brad, I hope your Thanksgiving was good. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing great. Not only was my Thanksgiving good, but I was at the Mizzou, Arkansas game. Oh, what a fantastic game.
Now, look, I'm going to tell you right now, I had a ticket for that game, and I wimped out, and I wimped out because wimp out because of the wet. Well, listen to me. There's a method, and I feel pretty good about it for this reason. I had a friend that told me that took them 3.5 hours to Columbia from West County. I didn't care about the circumstances with the weather at the game. I just didn't want to get stuck on I-70. And I think I might have made the right decision there.
Well, I was in the car for 5 hours. I left my house, Chesterfield, 9:30 in the morning, went straight to the game and walked in at 2:30 for the start.
Oh,
so
my
five-hour drive.
Did it really take you that long, dude?
It did. Oh. It did. I got behind, there was a jackknifed Amazon 18-wheeler. It was crazy. We counted 18 cars stranded on the side. Yeah, it was brutal, but, you know, it was worth it.
Well, it was a great game. It really was. And, you know, here's what pissed me off, and there's nothing you can do about this. I'm watching all last week a lot of football, a lot of college football. I'm watching ESPN. They're talking about all the big matchups. We never got mentioned. Arkansas and Missouri never got mentioned. They're promoting their big slate, ABC, the SEC on ABC. No mention of Mizzou. Because once we kind of dipped out of that college football playoff ranking, it didn't really matter. Now, it's unfortunate because here, and I mentioned this to Frank, Brad, and I think you can relate, we have, you know, compared to both seasons, this is outstanding. 9-3 going to a big bowl, right?
Absolutely.
If it wasn't for that damn South Carolina game, we might be in the CFP. But we're kind of let down because we didn't get there. So that's
exactly
the mentality
right.
of Mizzou fans.
Exactly. But no, I'm thrilled. Good season.
It was a good season. Before I get to Hunter Biden, Sue and I were watching Fox here at the end of the hour, and they had some video that was fascinating. And there's really no audio component to this, but I'll describe it to you, Brad. This happened in Denver in Lone Tree, Colorado, a suburb. There was a guy that was accused, and I don't exactly know what the original crime was, but he stole something from a neighborhood, and police encountered him, and then the guy started hopping fences, and he steals a kid's scooter. And they actually have security, like Ring camera, where you can see the guy on the scooter going down the middle of the street trying to escape. Right behind him, like 30 seconds later in the same video, is the cop who grabbed a kid's bike.
It was
like
awesome.
This green bike. He jumps on the bike and he finally catches up with the guy and they nabbed him. It was pretty epic.
Oh, that's great. In fact, I'm watching the video right now.
Yeah, it's good.
Epic is a great word for this.
All right, so on the topic of the pardon, let me play a little carrier bond because this also protects Joe Biden. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Also insisted that he doesn't know anything. So to me, I look at this pardon and I think to myself, you know something, because you wouldn't have issued something this sweeping otherwise. And I also think it's not just about protecting Hunter. I think it's about protecting himself. I think it is very possible that there would have been investigations again into Hunter and Joe Biden would have been implied in some way or another in some of these business dealings and something criminal, perhaps. And so this was a way of protecting himself and his son. But I do think politically it's a gift to Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, I think it is. And look, if we're really being honest here, it really shouldn't come as a big surprise that they lied about this for months because it fits the pattern. But they sneaked this out last night. Brad, thoughts on the pardon overall?
Well, to carry forward with a thought from that audio clip you just played, Mark, this is not being reported very much nationally. And that's, to me, is what makes me angry about the reporting. But this is the broadest pardon ever in the history of our country, except for the Gerald Ford pardon of Richard Nixon. And that part is not being reported. It's being reported as he's being pardoned for the two crimes that he committed. That is true, but it's only partially true. I've got the actual pardon right in front of me here, and it specifically states it's a pardon for all offenses against the United States, which Hunter Biden has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1, 2014 through December 1, 2024. So Mark, this covers his entire time with Burisma. It covers anything that he actually did or anything that he may have done or any conspiracy that he may have been involved in. So this is the most sweeping pardon ever issued by any president in the history of our country, except for Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon.
But Brad, here's where I'm confused. I thought nobody was above the law. Right.
Well, and that's the political part. You know, we had the Democrats running the entire 2024 campaign saying no one is above the law. No, I mean, we heard that.
Well,
millions
let's play
of
a
times.
Sample of that here.
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law.
Nobody is above the law.
No one is above the law.
I mean, I can go on and on here.
But now we know that there are people who are above
yes,
the law
there are people.
If their last name is Biden.
That's exactly right. So what does this prevent in the future? When it comes to what Carrier Bond said there about the president, does this protect the president in a way as well? Potentially?
Well, it protects the president to the extent that you cannot get to the president through Hunter Biden. But listen, let me talk about what it doesn't cover, because this also is not being covered anywhere in the national media. And that's this, the Fifth Amendment. What do I mean? We all know the Fifth Amendment. Anytime, any cop show you've ever watched, that people cannot be forced to testify against themselves.
Right.
However, Supreme Court, bedrock law, constitutional law, it that the Fifth Amendment does not apply if you've been pardoned. So right now, the incoming U.S. Congress is going to be continuing its investigation of Burisma and the crime syndicate issues. And if Hunter Biden is called before this Congress, he cannot take the Fifth Amendment because of this pardon. So number one, he has to testify. And number two, if he refuses or gets in front of Congress and says, I'm not going to say anything, or just fails to show up, he can be prosecuted, because that would be after December 1, 2024.
So that's an interesting little piece of nuance there, right?
Yeah.
And I heard that earlier. You helped to explain that a lot better, because I heard the Fifth Amendment aspect come up earlier, but I didn't know why that applied in the way that it did.
Right. Of course, I explained it better.
Of course.
Because that's my job.
Duh.
That's my job.
That's right. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. So it's fascinating, because they keep saying, you know, that they weren't lying, too. Have you heard the parsing of the word lie today? Here's what KJP said.
Two things could be true. You can believe in the Department of Justice system, and you could also believe that the process was infected politically.
Infected.
And that's what the president says. Remember, there was a deal on the table that the Department of Justice agreed on, and it fell apart. and his political opponents praised that deal falling apart.
Okay, so we should talk about the, let's address the deal, Brad, because deal. We spent a lot of time on that deal. The reason that the deal was blown up wasn't because it was a good deal, it was because it was a ridiculously offensive deal, and the judge even said, I've never seen anything like it.
Right, because it would have done what this pardon did, the deal, and any time there's a deal between a prosecutor and a defendant, it always applies to the charges that are the subject matter of the current matter. So, but the deal, I'm going to put those in air quotes, in with Hunter Biden was not only does it apply to these charges, but it applies to anything that he may have done, anything that he conspired, or if there's any conspiracy with other people, though that plea bargain would have applied to anything. It would have been just as broad as Biden's pardon of Hunter, and that's why the judge said, "Wait a minute, we got to put the brakes on this."
You know, I've addressed this following topic with several of the guests here this afternoon, and it's not that I'm obsessed with what Joe Biden's legacy is going to be, but I'm fascinated with how that might be sold down the line. Maybe we'll all be gone at that point. But if you look at this president and this presidency, and by the way, there needs to be a deeper examination of the last 2 years by the media, if anyone wants to do actual reporting and find out how much this was covered up. But what the hell positive can you ever say outside of, you know, letting a bunch of people who took out student loans for sociology degrees that they can't pay off, you know, let them off the hook for that. That's basically the only legacy the guy has left.
Exactly. And don't forget, most of that was overturned by the Supreme Court. He's only been able to, in a very niche-like fashion, forgive some of these student loans, which, by the way, I detest the word forgive. The loans are not forgiven. It's a transfer of debt from the people who got the benefit of the debt to all of us taxpayers. Yeah. There is no forgiveness. It's merely a transfer.
Oh, but you guys, he was so great at the border. He didn't let anybody through.
By the way, here's a question. Now, I will say that I didn't watch a lot of news last week, but has anyone seen Kamala since any of this happened? Like since that second day after the election, she's just disappearing.
Yeah,
you know, I
she's
and some
made
people
one statement. She did make one statement to the press, but there were varying reports in the media about whether she was or was not intoxicated.
Well, and I know, and I think those are legitimate concerns. And who
difficult.
You know what? Who can blame her at this point, really?
It's difficult to weed your way through the word salad to determine what happened.
This is going to be fun to read the books out of this presidential. Who's going to write the best books? You know who should write a book is Jennings. He really should.
I got some great
audio. Hey, Brad, before I let you go, and I'm going to play some of Jennings' audio, have you followed the Danny Penny case?
I have.
Okay,
I've been following it very closely.
So how in the hell is this Paul Morrell's best case scenario? He was on with me earlier this afternoon. He thinks hung jury. I'm going to have more faith in humanity, and I'm going to say this jury is going to acquit this guy. What do you think?
Well, I think acquittal, and let me tell you why. Very quickly. Because unlike these other cases, like we saw with Donald Trump, the jury was predisposed to vote against Donald Trump. But every single one of the people on this current jury have ridden on a subway. And every single person on that jury knows what it's like to be traumatized by someone who's crazy and insane and may kill you at any moment while riding the subway. That's something that they know and that they've experienced. I do. I'm predicting an acquittal.
Yeah, because you and I had not seen this until today. Maybe I just missed it. But the attorneys for Danny Penny had released this audio where you see clearly people who were on that subway car telling police officers in the immediate aftermath, which, by the way, is why he wasn't arrested when this happened.
Correct.
You know, he was arrested days later, but people were saying, look, you got a crazy guy that came on screaming at the top of his lungs. People feared that they were going to, you know, be in danger. And not only that, but they're saying, and you can hear on the body cameras that they all felt two things, that they were threatened and that Danny Penny wasn't trying to kill the guy.
Right.
He wasn't trying to do a lock that would kill him, that he was just trying to subdue him.
Right. But you have to remember, for every jury trial, whether it's criminal or civil, the job of the attorney is to make the jury relate on an emotional level to your client's position. And in this case, that's easy to get that jury to emotionally relate to what it's like to be afraid and scared on a subway where your life could be snuffed out at any moment. That's easy here. I'm predicting an acquittal.
Do you know if it went to the jury? Did they wrap up the closing arguments? I never heard that it went to the jury.
I don't see that it went to the jury yet, but I'll also predict one other thing. You've heard me make this prediction before. I'm right about 75% of the time. And that is that juries will never issue a verdict before lunch because they want that extra free sandwich from the court.
That's the science of being a juror. All right, Brad Young, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure, Mark.
Let me get to, I might be killing some of my audio cut of the day, but Jennings was on fire last night on CNN.
Love it.
And this is an interesting exchange because there were people, and this is maybe something that amazes me the most. There are people on this panel last night that are trying to convince the American people that they didn't lie, that KJP didn't lie, that the president, when he said repeatedly, I'm not going to, how else would you term that? Exactly.
Joe Biden is leaving office making the strongest possible case for Donald Trump that anybody could possibly make it, and that's that our government and our justice system is of, by, and for the elites and nobody else. He ran to banish Trumpism from our political system in this country, and he has left it politically and now institutionally the strongest possible political force in this country. It is a complete and utter failure by the head of the Democratic Party and the President of the United States. Never again do I want to hear, oh, Donald Trump's a liar. You can't believe anything he says. Donald Trump will abuse his power. Donald Trump will only use the system to benefit himself and his family and so on and so forth. Never again.
So one of the things that Jennings has said, and he's certainly said this on this show when we've had him on, is that, you know, one of his roles is to call balls and strikes, right? That's what I do. I call balls and strikes. So in moments like this, I honestly do this. I think, you know, if the situation was reversed, how would the other side react? And to a certain extent, we have our teams. Everyone's got their teams. They only play by their team colors. They don't want to look at the facts. I would like to think that if a similar circumstance existed, I'd be critical of that circumstance, and I wouldn't say, oh, you know, that's not a lie, and try to spin it in some way. You don't know until a moment like that happens.
Exactly.
But I do think that it's fascinating. Now, listen to this next part of the exchange, because they're actually trying to sell the notion that nothing happened here that was out of the ordinary.
Why did he need an 11-year blanket pardon going back to 2014 when Joe Biden was the vice president? We are sitting on the biggest cover-up of who knows what crimes, and Joe Biden amazingly knows exactly, roughly, when it started. He knows just about when it all started. He's leaving office in complete and total disgrace. He is a liar, and there is no other way to spin this today. This has nothing to do with Trump and everything to do with the character of Joe Biden.
So, you know, I know Scott very well, and I think the listeners realize that, but you can hear, and I think, Sue, you know him well enough, you could hear the
he was not mad. Yeah,
you know, there's Scott Jennings with some levity and making some cracks, and there's Scott Jennings who is livid about the circumstances, especially because the panel surrounding him was trying to act like nothing was out of the ordinary here. And this was a good bite here.
Inflation, it's transitory. Afghanistan, it's a success. The border is secure. Robert Hur is a liar. The videos are cheap fakes. Biden has a cold. He'll never drop out. Oh, I'll never pardon Hunter. It's all a lie. It is all a grift.
Oh, yeah, it is. There he goes. That could be a pre-audio cut of the day for my cut of the day. But we got Congressman Jason Smith, the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, coming up next.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My producer, Ethan, because there is another part of that Jennings exchange from last night on CNN that I wanted to share, and we're going to grab that. We'll probably have that for audio cut of the day. You know, I mentioned Doge earlier in the show. I'm very much looking forward, and I sometimes I can't remember who I've had on the show over the years and who I haven't, and I sent a piece to Fred over the weekend from Francis Menton, and he wrote on a site called the Manhattan Contrarian. And Fred tells me that Francis has been a guest on the show before, but he really did a great job, and it gets in the weeds just a little bit, talking about the federal workforce and some of the things that DOGE could accomplish. So Francis is going to be with us tomorrow on 97.1 FM Talk. I still have an audio cut of the day left, but first let's welcome back to the show the House Ways and Means Committee Chairman, Missouri 8th District Congressman Jason Smith, who was with us in the studio just a few weeks ago. Jason, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be with you, Mark.
Well, where do we start? This is quite something, isn't it?
I mean, Mark, this pardon, in my opinion, is a shameless cover-up of the Biden family's illegal influence peddling scheme that we've been investigating and looking at for a long time. It confirms to me, yet again, that there are two systems of justice in our country. One if your last name's Biden, and one for everyone else. And that's exactly what Joe Biden did yesterday. I mean, President Biden stated multiple times that no one is above the law and repeatedly pledged not to pardon his son. Now he has suddenly changed his tune and blames congressional Republicans for his son's actions. Give me a break.
Well, that's what's so funny about this, because clearly there are a lot of people, including many in the mainstream media, that are not paying attention to the facts of this case, because this is anything but a political prosecution. In fact, it's the opposite of that. As you know, he was given a lot of deference because of who he was, and anyone else would have been prosecuted, certainly within the statute of limitations, I think.
Absolutely. And you know what's even more alarming, and what people should be talking about, is that this pardon that our so-called president of the United States did yesterday was for starting January 1st, 2014. January 1st, 2014, until yesterday, he has complete blanket immunity for any charges he had and any charges that he could have. Guess what? His son got on the Burisma board in May of 2014. Guess what? There were no charges able to be brought against his son because Biden's Justice Department allowed the statute of limitations to expire.
That's right.
For the tax years of 2014 and 2015. And those were the most egregious crimes. That's where the whistleblowers documented millions of dollars coming from foreign sources to the Biden family. It is the most corrupt regime, Mark, and it's unacceptable. And I can't even imagine that people are sitting by and they're okay with what Joe Biden did yesterday.
Well, and I think a lot of people are not going to be happy with it, although you wouldn't know that from The View and from KJP. Here's KJP.
Two things could be true. You can believe in the Department of Justice system, and you could also believe that the process was infected politically. And that's what the president says. Remember, there was a deal on the table that the Department of Justice agreed on, and it fell apart. And his political opponents praise that deal falling apart.
Yeah, it fell apart because it was not a fair prosecution. And, you know, she's right about one thing. Politics did infect that process. It just infected it in David Weiss's office.
Mark, let's be clear. Hunter Biden's plea deal fell apart because a federal judge agreed with myself,
yes,
all the Ways and Means Republicans, and the two IRS whistleblowers that Hunter Biden had received special treatment from the Department of Justice at every turn because of his last name, and was then handed a sweetheart deal that no other American would have ever received. That is why it fell apart. That federal judge in Delaware said in her statement in court, I have never seen an agreement that would provide immunity for crimes that may be created in the future.
Right.
Like, I mean, not in the past, in the future. Like,
oh,
everybody would want that one.
Is something else. And then this. So, like, the question now would be for you, is there anything you can do now at this point to expose more of these shenanigans, or does this pretty much take that out of the mix?
Well, the pardon completely takes care of himself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, well, let's see if Joe Biden pardons himself before he leaves, too. I mean, I think anything is possible of what Joe Biden and the Biden family, the IRS whistleblower said. They've been selling that brand all over the world for millions of dollars to get access, and the brand was Joe Biden. And so this was just an instance where President Biden was taking care of his business partner, which happens to be his son, Hunter Biden, and we'll see what he does for himself.
You know, this will be interesting because, of course, when all this was happening before your committee and they paraded the, the documentarians in there keeping track of all this, how will the documentarians that are making a movie about Hunter Biden cover all of this right now, Congressman? That could be fascinating.
Yeah, it would be fascinating. And how will people record the history of President Biden as the most corrupt president in the history of the United States? I mean, by pardoning your son? Who's ever done that?
Well, we thought we had a strong legacy from Jimmy Carter in trying to destroy the country a little bit. And, you know, you can tick down the list. You really can with this president. And I don't know why any of us should be surprised at this point that Kamala Harris got her ass kicked so badly because of the policies of this administration and some of the other things that have gone on. But your point is well taken, because how will, especially biased historians who hate Donald Trump, how will historians actually even approach this moment right now?
It's crazy. If you just look at his press statement yesterday, his press statement was accusing me and other colleagues of why his son got found guilty. Guess what? If he really thought the Justice Department was no good, he controls them. Why don't you fire the Attorney General of the United States? Why don't you fire the various district attorneys? That's not the case. They planned this all along. That's why his son pleaded guilty to the 6 felonies, the 6 misdemeanors, is because he was just going to pardon him going on the way out. But you know what? The IRS whistleblowers, Mark, provided us information that showed that Hunter Biden emailed a CNN reporter saying that all of this stuff would go away once his dad became president.
Well, he was right about that. Yeah, and I think that was the big plan overall. Yeah, you mentioned the attorney general. You know, he hasn't been seen in a while, Merrick Garland, the feeble old man that has been running that department. So it's interesting because I think now we'll get to a situation, and I want to ask you a little bit about the president's nominees. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that right now. I'm guessing you're not too disappointed that Matt Gaetz stepped away.
Let me just say, I love all the nominees right now, and I think the president's current nominees are as good as they can be.
What about Kash Patel? I don't know much about him. Any thoughts on that? Because that's the FBI director.
So I'll tell you right now, I haven't worked much with Kash, but Trey Gowdy is a very good friend of mine, a congressman who I respect, especially when it comes to his legal mind. And his statement and his position on Kash Patel, how he's worked with him over the 8 years that he was in Congress, and saying that there is no one more deserving, I think that tells a lot. President Trump wants reformers. He wants people to root out bad people within the different federal agencies. And I think Kash is one of those people that will do it. I think you'll see that with Pam Bondi, with the Justice Department. There is no question that Pam will do an awesome job, an incredible job. She should have been the first nominee for Attorney General.
I would agree.
But she will do a phenomenal job. And you know what? I was talking to the big guy yesterday, and it's going to be exciting to see some of his future appointments that's going to be coming out.
Well, let me ask one more question here. As we head toward Christmas, the holidays, we get legislation hopefully extending the tax cuts from 2017. Does that process then begin right now?
This process started last April. We've been working to have this moment. A lot of people criticized me and said, why did you set up these 10 different tax teams to look at the entire tax code solely with Republicans? It's because I was planning to have a trifecta Republican government, the White House, the House, and the Senate. We have it. Now it's our time to deliver this tax package using that tool that gets 51 votes in the Senate, which they call reconciliation. And that is how we'll be able to pass conservative tax policies. And we're ready. We're ready to hit the ground running. Of course, you know, we have a tight majority in the House, but you know what? We've had a tight majority for the last 2 years in the House. And I passed the most bipartisan tax bill in the history of the country from our chamber.
Look, if you're so good at these predictions, Jason Smith, I'm going to have you handle my NFL parlays every weekend from now on. Will you take that deal?
You know what? Sports betting is legal in Missouri.
There you go. I know. Isn't that great?
Whatever you want.
Hey, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, Jason. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We'll talk probably before Christmas. I appreciate it.
Hey, great talking with you, Mark.
You know, we talked about it. We mentioned Kash Patel. I played this audio earlier, but this was last week, and he was talking about his plans at the FBI.
One of my biggest personal recommendations is you shut down the FBI headquarters building and open it up the next day as the Museum of the Deep State. And you send those 7,000 agents in the headquarters building downrange to chase down rapists, to chase down murderers, to chase down drug traffickers, and let the cops be cops on the streets across America. You keep a small contingent in Washington, D.C. That's step one. You get rid of half of the legion of lawyers and special counsels that exist within the FBI to do one thing, to corrupt and obstruct government oversight from constitutionally applicable committees in Congress. And another aspect of it real quick is one of the biggest institutions in the FBI that has been troubled and politicized and weaponized has been their intel component. We have an intel agency. I don't need it to be redone in, within the walls of the FBI. We've shown when we've given that, them that, that power, what they do to it.
So look, they're going to shake things up. I mean, from Elon to Vivek, that is exactly the whole point. And he talked a little bit. Here's Trey Gowdy, because Congressman Smith mentioned Trey.
You would not know the foundation or the funding of the Steele dossier. You would not know about FISA abuse. You would not know about Fusion GPS had it not been for the hard work of a guy named Kash Patel. He is quite candidly the most unfairly maligned person that I worked with the entire 8 years I was in Washington.
The good news is we're going to have an opportunity to get to know some of these people just a little bit more. The bad news is, Sue, as I've learned over the past 7 days in particular, my contributors to this show are dropping like flies. Keith Kellogg is going to be working in the administration.
Really?
Tom Homan's in the administration. We're still hoping Jennings doesn't become press secretary, although that might be good for the country. But yeah, we're losing. We're down like three contributors just because of Donald J. Trump. But that means we had good contributors. I would say that. We're coming back. Audio cut of the day. Press two things at once. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want to screw up the intro because this is like my favorite song coming out of the holidays by a guy by the name of Father John Misty. You ever hear him, Sue?
I have not.
So I saw this guy warm up for a band, and I can't even tell you what the band was at the pageant that I saw. But what I do remember is, and I'd heard of Father John Misty. His name is, it's like Josh Brolin, but it's not really Josh Brolin. It's like Josh something or other. But, you know, you go to shows sometimes and you don't know who the warm-up act is. And let's face it, most people are looking at the warm-up act saying, okay, we want to get to the main act. And it was a band that I really liked, I'm sure. And Father John Misty came out. And I remember tweeting at him after it saying, fan for life, because he was such a great performer. And this is a new song that's called I Guess Time Makes Fools of Us All that came out on his new album, which was out 2 weeks ago. So there's a guy, and like I'm looking for his tour. They're playing down, I've never been to the Ryman. They're playing at the Ryman
so
in
Fair.
I know there's like a couple of tickets left.
You
I'm thinking about
there. Doing, really, Mark.
Doing a dash to Nashville to see that.
But there's totally worth it.
My musical recommendation would be Father John Misty's new record. Really, really good stuff. Here's some positive news to leave us. We're going to get back to Scott Jennings and some great audio for audio cut of the day. But I did find this story over the weekend. So there's a woman by the name of Rebecca Gonzalez. And let's see if this is this is in California. It's in a place called Industry, California. You ever hear of that before?
No.
There's a Walmart there. Rebecca Gonzalez works at the Walmart, and she gets a call. She's off. She's not supposed to be working, right? But guess what? They're short-staffed. People aren't showing up for work. The manager needs her to come in for a few hours. So it's I guess this is Labor Day weekend, so this goes back just a little bit. And she could not keep her plan to buy a lottery scratcher on her lunch break. So she bought it at the end of her shift, almost forgetting to purchase one in the first place because she was thrown off her game when she got called in you know, because of the short staff. So she gets her, this is a little pattern that she has, she gets her scratcher, she scratches it off, she wins $1 million.
Oh my goodness.
$1 million. She says, I've only told one person at work, and it was the manager who wanted me to stay late on a holiday. He couldn't believe it. She buys scratchers twice a month, the most she's ever won. Remember, I was just bitching about my lottery thing because I've pretty much given up because I'm never winning. The most she had ever won was $50. She said it's a gamble that her dad had always taken. Gonzalez started doing the same thing just kind of for the thrill of it, and she dreamed that she could win $1 million. She actually did. And she said she didn't even buy the scratcher. She almost didn't buy it that day because she wanted to be home with the family. It was Labor Day weekend, and she wanted to do the barbecue. She says The only motivation was is that on that particular day, she found a $10 bill in her pocket. It was left over from some shaved ice that her daughter had purchased. So she's like, I want to throw that. It's like, you know, found money. I didn't know I had that in my pocket. Let's put this toward the scratcher. First of all, I had no idea that you could win that much money on a scratch-off ticket, right?
I was going to say, I have no idea, since I never do this. That just sounds high. But I hope, please, let her just spend it properly, and we could all live happily ever after.
I mean, let's face it, after taxes, it's about $3,
right.
But still, congratulations to her on a shift that she wasn't even supposed to be at. Let's do this here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, well, wait, the host gave some poor communication directions to Ethan when he pulled the Jennings audio, because there is a string of it from last week. And some of this really is pretty visual. There's a point where, and you can probably pick out what that point was when I played the audio, when this Democrat consultant who's with him is trying to make the case for Hunter Biden, where he just basically throws his head down on the set and, you know, just it's like the faceplant emoji that you would have out there.
Right.
But here he is trying to make the case that this president in the White House right now has pretty much lied about everything.
Listen, you guys can spend all day long trying to spin this, that this is Donald Trump's fault, that this is somehow caused by Donald Trump. Oh, he's appointing the wrong people. Oh, he did it. Oh, this is the worst possible thing a president could possibly do to his party and to the country, to sit for a year and say, I will not do this. I will not do this. The rule of law is sacred. We have to respect the justice system, juries. We have to respect juries. We have to respect the guardrails and the norms of our democracy. These people are liars. Inflation is transitory. Afghanistan, it's a success. The border is secure. Robert Hur is a liar. The videos are cheap fakes. Biden has a cold. He'll never drop out. Oh, I'll never pardon Hunter. It's all a lie. It is all a grift. Every American, except the most partisan, brain-rotted people, are going to be outraged by this today. He is going to leave off. You think 38-39% job approval is bad? Just you wait. Just you wait. He's disgraced. Disgraced today.
So the voice there that you hear coming in, I'm going to play, this is Karen Finney. Karen Finney worked on the Obama team, and she's a Democrat, you know, mouthpiece, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she basically... they're making the case. They did this on The View today. Karen Finney and others. This wasn't a lie.
Oh,
when Joe
no.
Biden, it wasn't a lie.
No.
What is it exactly?
We can disagree
yourself. About you don't
this.
Have to
we
defend this.
To
he's leaving office. You don't have to defend it. You don't have to die on this hill. You can say this is wrong because
I'm
everybody knows
it.
That it is.
It's
wrong.
It.
Are you fine with the lying? Are you fine with him sitting before the election all year and lying to the American people? Are you fine with the lying?
So I'm going to give you her answer in a second, but let's not forget that a big part of the campaign against Donald Trump was them talking about all his lies and how he lies and he misleads, and then Karen Finney says this.
I don't think that he was lying. I think he made a decision after the fact and decided this was the right thing for him and for his family.
How do you really get your arms around that? But that's why I addressed this issue earlier by saying, you know, when you're calling balls and strikes, and Jennings is calling them accurately there, we don't have to have, you know, replay analysis. I struggle with this, Sue, because I don't know how anyone can sit back in this circumstance. And I know that the Republicans have mouthpieces, too. And let's face it, and I've criticized, you know, when Matt Gaetz came out as a nominee, there were a lot of people that were defending him. I didn't defend it. I thought it was a terrible pick. Didn't last very long. You don't have to. I think that's Scott's point.
It is.
You don't have to defend everything that the guy does. You're capable of saying, even on CNN, especially because the rest of the country is kind of on to the Democrats, right, and saying, you know what, Jennings, you're kind of right about this. This was not appropriate. He did lie about it. They misled people. And, hey, maybe we should also look into the lies that they've sold the American people about the competency and the fact that this guy was not, you know, drooling on himself for the last couple of years.
Well, I wonder if that's not part of it. I wonder if somebody sat him down. But, of course, they're also right in saying, why does the pardon go all the way back to 2014? I mean, there is a specific covering of everything. And when they were talking about it was the most, what, encompassing, all-encompassing pardon short
right, that's
of
what Brad
Ford
was talking about.
I mean, that is, wow.
Do you think that I'm asking this seriously, okay? Do you think that there's a moment over Thanksgiving where Dr. Jill and the president ever said to themselves, what is my legacy? What am I leaving to the history books? And it can't be a good legacy at this point, right?
No.
So let's make it, you know, we've already done all these things and we got beat by a guy that is a Nazi, but we're going to go one step further and pardon my son, even though I said I wasn't going to do it. And I lied about that as well. So let's just, you know, cement the legacy. That's the dagger. Congratulations. You've done a good job and you've come full circle. I mean, I don't know how anyone could sit back at the Thanksgiving dinner. I know that they would want to get him pardoned for political reasons and, you know, to protect the family. But how anyone could think that this was a good idea legacy-wise is beyond me. Sue, have a great Monday evening.
You too.
We'll talk tomorrow at 3. Father John Misty here. Good song.
Get more at 971talk.com.